Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each one of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Luke chapter 17. I read for you again these words. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." So far, the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. From the very beginning, God created man to live in community. He declared that it was not good for the man to be alone. And so he created a woman for the man and instituted holy marriage. Later, he called Israel to be his holy people, a community of saints. Today, we hear Jesus tell his disciples about living in community. And the first thing Jesus says is, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Jesus wants you to be careful that what you say and how you live do not cause others to stumble and fall into sin, or just as badly, even to fall away from the Christian faith altogether. For you are part of a community, and your words and actions do affect others. This can be for the good or it can be for the bad. But in either case, you are called to be attentive to your role and the impact you have on others. Now, Jesus says that temptations to sin or offenses will certainly come. But woe on anyone through whom they come. You see, it's about more than just tempting to sin, though that is bad enough in itself. For the word that's translated temptations to sin is actually the Greek word scandal. Now, this is not just a public scandal that makes the newspapers and internet and that sort of thing. Although it could include that, but scandal here could be anything that causes someone else, particular a weaker or less mature Christian, to stumble and fall in their Christian faith. That's why our words, our actions, our example are so important. We can and do have influence on others, and it would be horrible if we cause someone to fall into sin or fall from faith. And just as important, Jesus says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day, and turns to you 7 times saying, "I repent," you must forgive him. Here is the need for forgiveness, mutual forgiveness, if we are to live together in a Christian community. The thing is, the closer you live in relationship with other people, the more occasions will arise when we hurt one another and sin against one another. And with that, the more opportunities for us to forgive the brother who sins. You see, Jesus wants us to care for one another, including spiritually. We just won't make it as a family or a church unless we learn how to forgive one another. Everything breaks down when there's no forgiveness. The alternative is to withdraw and keep to yourselves, keep our distance, not let other people get too close. But that's no answer. For Christ has placed us in this community called the church. Now we are to share our life together in koinonia, in community. Now, we may not think too much about living in community when we think about church. Our culture certainly does not think in these terms, because in today's world, it's all about me, the individual. What am I getting out of church? What does the church do for me? It's like we're a bunch of individuals who happen to show up at the same place occasionally on Sunday morning. And I come and sit in my isolation booth for an hour and then I leave without having much interaction with other people. But that's not the biblical picture of the church. Not at all. For we are family in Christ. We are meant to live in community, caring for one another and building one another up in the faith. So, how's it going for you in your life of community, with your life of forgiveness? Have other people hurt you? Have you hurt other people? Do you find it hard to forgive and seek reconciliation? Do you take the initiative to restore a good relationship? Or do you just sit back and stew in your juices? When you see a brother or a sister in Christ going off track, do you just ignore it and block it out of your mind? Or do you do the risky thing and try to help that brother come to repentance? You see, our failure to pursue forgiveness and reconciliation and repentance and restoration leads to bitterness, broken relationships, and conflicts in our family and in the church. And if you just stay within yourself and your own resources that you can muster up on your own, that will always be the case. And that's what the disciples sense as they listen to Jesus. They can sense that what he says is a tall order, this calling to live in community, to be attentive to your words and deeds so that you do not mislead a brother or sister and cause them to fall. That when a brother does sin, that you do what you can to lead him to repentance and then forgive him and keep on forgiving him. The apostles realize that this goes beyond what they can accomplish on their own. And so they tell Jesus, increase our faith. And maybe that's your prayer too. When you realize that you have a hard time living as a Christian in community, increase my faith, Lord. I need your help. Yes, and so do I. I have hurt others. Others have hurt me. And I, too, am often reluctant, shy, lazy, or afraid when it comes to taking the initiative to restore what is broken. And I feel helpless when what I try doesn't work. Increase our faith, Lord. We need your help. And then listen to what Jesus says in reply to this plea. If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. The point being, even the tiniest amount of faith, if it is true faith in God and in Christ, is able to accomplish amazing things that otherwise would be impossible. Things like forgiving your brother and caring for your fellow Christians and living in community as the church. While our faith may seem small, when it is faith in Christ, it can do mighty things. And this is the faith that you have, dear Christians. You have faith in Christ. And so life together in the church is not beyond your reach. You do have the capacity to love as the new person you are in Christ. Here's how it goes. God loves and forgives you because of what Christ has done for you. God has given you His Holy Spirit in your baptism, making you God's child, giving you the gift of faith, and giving you new power to love and forgive others. The Holy Spirit calls you into this community, into the church. And so you have the faith that is needed to live in community. To be sure, God would have your faith strengthened and nourished. And that's why you come to church every week to receive the word and sacrament. This is where community always begins and always returns. In the divine service. But our life as church then continues the rest of the week too. Love and care and forgiveness are ongoing, enabled by God Himself. And while God does not command us to cast mulberry trees into the sea, look what God has already done. He has tossed your sins into the depths of the sea. In the last verses of the prophet Micah, it says, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of His inheritance? He does not retain His anger forever, because He delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Did you hear that? The Lord casts all your sins into the depths of the sea, never to be dredged up again. What wonderful news this is. Your conscience is clear. Your slate is wiped clean. All your sins are cast into the depths of the sea, drowned in the waters of holy baptism. This is what the death of Christ, your Savior, has accomplished. Something you could never do. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has won the forgiveness of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Father, forgive them, Jesus prays for us. And He teaches us to pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. the cross of Christ is all about forgiveness and reconciliation and restoration. So the Christian church is all about forgiveness and reconciliation and restoration. God has reconciled us sinners back to Himself. He raises us from the deadness of sin and unforgiveness and isolation by raising us up with Christ in holy baptism and placing us in family, in His family, the church. This is where we have brothers and sisters all around us to put into practice the love and forgiveness and care we have learned from God Himself. This is our calling, and the faith God gives us enables us to do it. And finally, Jesus tells about servants who come in from a hard day at work. They come in, and Jesus says, Will the master tell them to sit down and eat and drink? No. He'll say, go and wash up, change your clothes, get the meal ready and serve me. And when everything's done, then you get to sit down and eat. Indeed, at the end of the day, it's all about having done our duty. And that's us. We don't merit any special favors from God for passing on the forgiveness He first extended to us and also empowered us to do. That's just a normal duty in the Christian church. We're simply doing what we're commanded to do. But the amazing thing is, God is so gracious that He does invite us unworthy servants to come and recline at table as His special guests. Our Lord invites us to His table here this day, where we receive the very body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And this feast points us ahead to the eternal heavenly feast to come, the wedding feast of Christ in His kingdom, which has no end. Yes, Jesus has put you in community and given you the faith to live in it. Even more, this faith will have its ultimate outcome in the resurrection in the last day, when the family of God in community is made perfect, no longer afflicted by sin, no longer afflicted with sin. Community perfected in peace and joy and everlasting fellowship. God grant it for each of you, for Jesus' sake. Amen.